Amen. Thank you, Donna. Good morning. Man, I hope and pray everybody is doing well. Look around, give somebody a wave, a wink, a smile that says, it is a great day to be in the house of the Lord. It is a great day to be here, and it is a great day to see each and every one of you as we gather together to look at God's Word and worship Him in spirit. And in truth, if you're part of our online audience, as always this morning, we're grateful to have you with us. And as always, Dr. John Cazito is there. If you have any questions or anything that you would like to address with the church, Dr. Cazito flies under the name Central Baptist Church. He's the guy who makes all the notes along the way, particularly on our Facebook feed. So we're tickled to death to have you with us as well as part of our church family. So let me go ahead and begin our time in a word of prayer today, because I don't want to take too much time and hold things up. Let's pray. Father, you're good to us, and again, it is a privilege to be able to come together in your house. And Lord, this is a time where we step out of just the push and the shove of the everyday world and our everyday lives to come into your house, Lord, to concentrate upon you, to kind of take that deep breath, and Lord, to prepare our hearts to be able to hear from you through your word, Lord, through song, and through the many worship opportunities that we will have this morning. So, Father, today I pray that you will truly help us to do that. Help us to, Lord, refocus our energies, to refocus our mind towards you. Because, Father, I know there are a lot of things that are going on from Satan trying to get us to make our plan for where we're going to do lunch, to what we've got to do tomorrow, to what we've got to do the rest of the day. But, Father, for these next moments, help us to, Lord, truly focus upon you, upon your word, and upon what you have for us individually. Lord, I'm grateful that your word is a living word and that you have something for each and every one of us today if we will, Lord, if we will listen to what you have to say. So help us, Lord, as we prepare our hearts to do that. And in so many ways, Lord, may we worship you and may today be a different day. May we leave this place different than the way we came in. And Father, we'll be so careful to praise you for it as we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, folks, as always, we are in that time of the year where we take our Annie Armstrong Easter offering. For those of you who may not know what that is the offering that all Southern Baptist churches take for, I used to call it home missions. They've changed some names of some things, and my hair is a little grayer than it used to be, but now it's called North American Missions, and you hear it as North American Mission Board. Well, that essentially keeps our puts our missionaries out on the field and keeps them there in Canada, the United States, and Mexico. The offering that we take at Christmas, which is our foreign missions offering or our international missions offering, as it's called, is for places outside of Canada, United States, and Mexico. So once again, we like to take this opportunity. There are envelopes that you will see there in the back of your pew. Now, there's two different envelopes back there. There's also one, Every Believer a Witness. I'll tell you a little bit more about that one as we go forward. But as far as our Annie Armstrong Easter offering, the one thing that I want to remind you about that is we'll be taking that for the next couple of weeks, and 100% of that offering goes to the North American Mission Board, or what we call NAM, and essentially that is to keep our missionaries out there on the field so that they don't have any needs along the way, so they can go out there and serve the Lord. As always, we like to try to introduce you as best we can to a couple of those missionaries. Today, for just a moment, you get to look at Troy and Chanel Gauss. If you'll roll that video, that'd be great.
Marrero, Louisiana will be considered the West Bank of the New Orleans metro area. And God isn't finished with this community. At one time, the community was probably 80 to 90% white. The community changed, but this church didn't. The church was so close to closing, maybe a couple months, and they invited us in. And as a replanter, God placed us right here with a church that had multiple elderly members who were excited about the church that they once knew, you know, to be that vibrant place again. So we've seen a newfound excitement for being a gospel witness. And we have a story behind our replant. The story of Mr. Leon and Miss Javon, they passed the church all the time, and they noticed that more cars started to be parked in the parking lot. And they came and they started to bring their sons, their daughters, their grandchildren. And the gospel has this uncanny aspect about it. People get saved when you preach it. So we were able to baptize 7 members of their household.
I knew that I wanted to have a relationship with God and for my grandchildren to have a relationship with God. That's how it came about.
In the last 2 years, we've seen 22 baptisms. So when you give to Annie Armstrong, here's what God does with your gift. He creates God-sized stories like Miss Javon and Mr. Leon. That story, it brings tears to my eyes and joy to my heart.
There's some incredible information in your bulletin this week about Annie Armstrong offerings and what we as Southern Baptists are doing in North America. Please be sure to read that. We're going to sing hymn number 484, Higher Ground. But before we do that, let me just ask you to pray for Brad and his family. His dad had a couple of strokes yesterday. Most of you may not know that. He's in Roanoke with his dad at the hospice house there. So please pray for that family. Would you stand as we sing, please?
Thank you.
we're studying this week. I know whom I have believed. Would you stand, please, as we sing?
What God has called each and every one of us as believers to be, and that's witnesses for Him. Last week we kind of kicked off a 5-week series from Every Believer a Witness, and that would be the goal, right? Every believer to be a witness. And sometimes we get to the point where we say, I'm not real good at doing that, or I'm not, I don't know how to do that, or I'm not a preacher. Well, God didn't call us all to be preachers, but He did call us all to be witnesses.
Amen.
So we take what He's given us, and I always like to say it in this particular manner. Being a witness is pretty easy. You know why? Because when you're a witness for something, a witness can only testify to what he or she has seen and heard themselves. Outside of that, a court of law would call that hearsay. See, you can't keep telling mama's story. You can't keep telling daddy's story. You got to be able to tell your story. And sometimes what happens is a lot of folks are like, well, I don't have a story. Well, it's time to look for that story because you have it. I promise you do. If not, it's time to get it and become a believer. You get what I'm saying? Now, one of the things as you came in, you were handed some listening sheets. This one is week 2, and it's developing know-how. Does everybody have one of these? If you don't have one, put your hand up. This is a listening sheet. And Jacob, Kurt's making his way around. Jimmy will need one. Betty will need one. And if you don't have one, this is just so you can follow along. You can fill this in, and you can keep track of that. I'll take care of the housekeeping stuff for you, Jacob. A lot of you all know Jacob. Jacob has spoken for me here when I've been on vacation or at convention or other places. And he is, I'll call him one of the big ramrods with Every Believer Witness. So it's great to have him back with us today. Anybody need a pen? We got pens as well. If you need a pen, put your hand up. Kirk and Jana will find you so that you can fill in the blanks. So I wish we had a way to be able to do this online, because I've actually had some people online said, I'd like to get a copy of those notes. I said, well, we'll get it for you. Without any further delay, so I won't delay your lunch, Jacob Payne, come share with us, brother.
What a pleasure and an honor it is to be back again this morning. This place is beginning to feel like home as much as I spend here, and I love it. And you guys are going to have to forgive me this morning. This week, as Roy saw Wednesday when I came up here spending some time, my allergies have been awful. Has anybody else had battles with allergies this week? Okay. So, I'm not as bad as I was Wednesday. I was like a zombie on Wednesday, but I still got a little bit of some nasally stuff going on. So, just bear with me today with that. And before we get started, as you saw when you came in, we have our ministry resource table out front, and we have different things on there that you can have. One of the things that we have on there that, if you didn't grab one on your way out today, is our ministry magnet with the picture of my family on it. You say, well, why'd you make a magnet with your family? Well, I had people keep saying, Jacob, we want to pray for you in the ministry. I said, what about my wife and my three kids? The devil hates them just as much as he hates me. So I thought, how can I get more Baptists praying for my family? Where do Baptists spend most of their time? At the refrigerator. So I made a refrigerator magnet. You just slap it right on there. When you go get your coffee creamer in the mornings, pray. When you go get lunch, pray. Dinner, pray again, because we need prayer, because you can rest assured if we're reaching lost people to Christ, and if we're motivating Christians to get busy witnessing obediently, Satan hates us. And my family has the same bullseye on their back that I do, because he knows if he can attack my family, he can distract me. So keep us in close prayer. We also have email sign-up sheets out there if you'd like to sign up for our monthly prayer letter that my wife sends out. You can sign up for that. We'd love to have you sign up for that. So Roy done took care of all the handiwork for me, you might say. So everybody that has a session too, it was wonderful last week. Dennis went over a lot of the reasons why people aren't witnessing. And one of the biggest ones was, you know, Christians forget about the fate of lost people. And so today, we're going to be going through developing know-how. So if you want, go ahead and turn to the first page, page 2. Developing know-how, what do we say? Now that first verse right there, Acts 1 verse 8, let's read this together on the screen. It says, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses. A witness. Now, Roy just touched on this a little bit before I came up. What does a witness do? Now, do something weird. Forget anything, church, Jesus, God, for just a second. That sounds awful. But just for a second, just like Roy just said, if I was to ask you, what does a witness do? You would say it has something to do with what? A courtroom. He mentioned that a minute ago. A courtroom. Just like, let's say, Roy, if you told Tim that you just saw a wreck out here on Highway 68, the cops come, there's three or four cops, they're wanting to get a witness statement. So they go to Roy. And Roy says, well, this is what I told Tim. Let me tell you what Tim saw. The cops goes, I don't care what Tim saw. What did you see? What did you experience? That's what a witness does. You're telling what you experienced, what you saw, what you witnessed. So, number one, your next note there, we're going to talk about Paul in Acts 26. And today we're going to be talking about our story. But just so you know, we didn't come up with this. Paul did in Acts 26. So letter A there, Paul's going to be talking about his life before he knew Jesus. His life before he knew Jesus. Before, it was Saul, right? He was a Pharisee. He was responsible for the imprisonment and a lot of the persecution of Christians. Then letter B, how he met Jesus. He met him on the Damascus Road, where he was revealed. Jesus changed his life. And then letter C, we see his life since Jesus came in. His life since Jesus came in. And now he's sharing the gospel everywhere with everyone. Now at the top of page 3, this is so true. Number 2, it says, most Christians don't think I have a dramatic story like that. I don't have a dramatic Damascus Road story like Paul. Really? It's interesting. If I was to ask you to sing the most popular hymn, which is Amazing Grace, I'm not going to do it, but if I had you sing the first verse right now of Amazing Grace, what would you call yourself? What was that? A wretch. But you may be saying, well, I don't really think of myself as a wretch. Brother Roy wasn't a wretch. Really? Is that true? So let's see what the Bible has to say. Not what I have to say. Let's see what the Bible has to say. Before you accepted Jesus, you were lost. You were lost. Reminds me of an article I saw where these two teenagers, they went out to a forest after a party. They thought they'd go meander around. They were just in shorts and t-shirt. The temperature wasn't too awful cold. But here's what happened. They got lost. Out in the middle of this forest, they got lost. And little did they know, because they were young, they didn't understand weather patterns and how weather can change. Temperatures got into freezing. They were lost. They couldn't find their way out. They didn't find their way out. By the time rescuers found them, they were dead. They had froze to death. Temperatures had dropped so dramatically, they froze to death in the forest. Now, with this in mind, let's read Luke 19:10 on the screen. Luke 19:10 says, the God of this age has blinded. Hold on, we're in blind. Back up one slide. Back up one more. There it is. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save what was lost. So no more could these teenagers find their way out of the forest because they were lost. Could you find your way to God? They were lost. You were lost. We were lost. Next, blind. You were blind. Reminds me of a story about a young man named Terry that attended Bible college. Brother Terry, going through Bible college, he was blind since birth. Terry would go around the college campus with his stick with the red tip on the end, going up and down stairs. And eventually, after several weeks and weeks and weeks of this, he got pretty comfortable where he was going to and from. But Terry could go to Bible class. You could set him in a desk. You could stick a Bible and open it up right in front of his face and say, Terry, read this. Terry couldn't read. He was blind. He can't see. So with this in mind, let's read 2 Corinthians 4, verse 4 on the screen. Let's read this together. It says, the God of this age has blinded the minds of unbelievers so that they cannot see the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. So no more could Terry see the words in the scripture right in front of his face. Could you see the glory of Jesus? You were blind. Next, you were wicked. You were wicked. You've all stolen. You've all told a lie, right? If you're saying no, you just lied there. Bunch of lying thieves. We're wicked. With that in mind, let's read Romans 4, verse 5. However, to the man who does not work but trusts God, who justifies the wicked, his faith is credited as righteousness. We were wicked. Next note, you were dead. You were dead. Now, I want to be sensitive with this. I can't tell you how many funerals I have been to this month and last month. It's been unreal. So I want to be sensitive with this topic talking about death. But in reality, just like Dennis talked about last week, everyone you know is going to die. That's the sad reality. And right here, even the Bible says that we were dead. We were dead. Just like if I were to have an unfortunate death and I was to die this afternoon, we have my funeral, Candy comes, Candy's my wife, and she's standing in front of my casket. She's going to stand there and look at me, and one little teardrop's going to roll down her face. And she's going to say, "Jacob, where's those insurance papers? I got to have that life insurance." No, I would hope she would be a little more sad. But I'm dead. With this in mind, let's see what Ephesians 2 verse 1 has to say. Let's read this together. "As for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins." So no more could I communicate to Candy because I was dead. Could you communicate to God? We were dead. Next note, you were an enemy of God. An enemy of God. We got a lot of enemies in America. We got a lot going on with Iran right now. We got a lot of people that hate us. We have enemies. People that want to wipe us off the face of the earth. So what the Bible says you were to God. You were an enemy of God. With this in mind, let's look at Romans chapter 5. Let's read this. It says, "When we were God's enemies, we were reconciled to Him through the death of His Son." We were enemies. You say, "Well, Jacob, you make me sound really bad." Make you sound really bad. You were a lost, blind, dead, wicked enemy of God. You were so bad, Jesus had to die for you on a cross. You were so bad. So do you have a story? Do you have a testimony? According to what we just read, absolutely. It doesn't matter what age. Yes, you have a story. So let's look at the top of page 4. This is going to lead us into the next part. Now that you know, you have a story. No matter what your brain was telling you, we're going to talk about how to strategize this story and write it out and create it. So we're going to talk about your personal story, and then letter A, my life before I met Jesus. My life before I met Jesus. So I'm going to show you how to write this real quick. You're going to be talking about where you grew up. You're going to be talking about your family, your interest, school, sports, music, college, career. And what I'm doing, I'm just going, if you follow the little gray bar in your notes right here, that's where I'm going through. The little gray bars tell you how to write your story. So my life before I met Jesus, just talk about where you grew up, your family, your interests, your school, sports, music, college, career. Do you see in the little gray bar section right there in the middle coming up, it says no spiritual stuff, no church stuff, but life stuff. You say, "What? No church stuff?" No. Remember, we're talking to lost people. We're not talking to people at church. We're creating this so we can understand how to reach lost people to Jesus and talk to lost people. If you start telling a lost person out in the middle of town, hey, I go to Sunday school and this is where I go to church, and they're going to go, they're going to cut you right off. So no spiritual stuff right here, just secular stuff. Talk about what you were doing before Jesus changed your life. Describe not only how you live, but what you were thinking, feeling. Were there times of emptiness in your life? Different circumstances. People will identify with the details of your story. So details are important here. Put details in it. It's very important. People can connect to the details of your story, because the purpose of this is to get them to listen. If you start out real churchy and preachy, there's a good chance they're not going to listen. We want them to listen, because when we get to the next part, we'll actually reveal the gospel. So get them to listen. Talk about emptiness, brokenness. Be vulnerable. Be vulnerable. Share stuff in here that maybe is tough, because we have to realize lost people have been through the same things that you've been through. And they're going to connect and see that you're genuine. You're real. You're human. So don't be so full of pride that you can't be vulnerable and real with lost people and share who you were before Jesus. You can talk about depression, suicidal thoughts. Let me read you what I wrote. I grew up in Stokesdale, North Carolina, with a wonderful mom and dad and three brothers. I went through life as a child with ADHD, and I got in trouble a lot. As I got older, I always seemed to gravitate toward the wrong friends, and I continued doing bad things. Eventually, I graduated high school, and I got married to my high school sweetheart, and then we had a son together. But years later, our marriage led to divorce. Then many more years later, I met the most beautiful woman of my dreams, Candy. I can remember our first date. I took Candy to the Spring Folly in Kernersville, and she ordered a huge, gigantic smoked turkey leg. And when she tore into that greasy turkey leg with turkey grease running down her face, I knew this was the woman for me. And eventually we got married. We continued to grow our family together with more children, and I continued to work and manage a company in Winston-Salem. And as life continued, I would often get these feelings of emptiness in my life. I would often feel these empty voids that I was filling with alcohol, smoking and partying, having lots of fun. But usually after the fun was over, I still had these empty feelings, and I was miserable on the inside. I had problems in my marriage because of my selfishness. Now, that's just my story. Your story is going to be completely different, because stories are like snowflakes. Not a one's alike. They're different. There's going to be some similarities you may have, but that's just my story. Now, in just a minute, I'm going to have you write yours, but I want you to do this. A lot of times when I get people to write their stories, there's always one or two people that'll sit there like this. I ain't doing that. Now, I want to encourage you. I want to encourage you to participate. I want to encourage you, because I'm going to give you 5 minutes in just a second. I'm going to give you 5 minutes to write your story in service. And you just simply write before. And then when you're done writing, just please look up so I know when everyone's done, and don't go on to the next page. I know some of you are so, you want to get done, you're good to go ahead and be good students, but don't go ahead. When you're done, just look up so I know everybody's done. So go ahead and take 5 minutes and write your life before you met Jesus. Thank you. All right. I think everybody, for the most part, is about finished. If you haven't quite finished, it's okay. You can finish this later. But certainly do finish it later. Let's move on to the top of page 5. Top of page 5, more into your personal story. Now we're in letter B. How I came to accept Jesus into my life. How? Now, in order to fill out this section, you just must have had a John 3:3 moment. John 3:3 should be on the screen. Let's read this together. It says, Jesus declared, I tell you the truth, no one can see the kingdom of God unless he is born again. So in order to fill this section out, you must have had a born again moment when you were different. Then look at the little gray bar section to the right. Tell when, where, who, what was involved. This is talking about, was it a parent, a pastor, a church sermon where you heard the gospel? Who was it that shared with you? Reveal that. Talk about that. Was it a, you heard the gospel through a parent, right? Use your words. Use common words. Don't talk like Roy and say propitiation and substitutionary atonement. Like you're just straight out of seminary. Talk normal. Remember, we're talking to lost people, not church people. Talk to lost people, right? So use common words, normal words. Don't tell them you were washed in the blood. They're going to look at you like you're a serial killer. Use common words. The next little part there, give enough of the gospel so that the person listening would know enough to be saved. Give enough of the gospel so that the person listening would know enough to be saved. Circle that. That is huge. The gospel must be in it. Don't just stop at telling them you got saved. They have to hear the proclamation of the gospel. The next little part right there, you can go to the, let's see, there you are. Let's read this on the screen if you would. This is 1 Corinthians 15. Now, brothers, I want to remind you of the gospel that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, for that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day according to the scriptures. So don't just stop it. Jesus died for you. But he rose from the grave on the third day. You have to do the complete gospel. I've seen gospel tracts that only put half of the gospel on it. Only half. Romans 1, verse 16. I'll read this one. Y'all take a break. I am not ashamed of the gospel because it is the power of God for the salvation of everyone who believes. The gospel is power. The Greek word is dunamis. Dynamite. It's power. There's no power in you just telling somebody that you're saved. But when you tell them that Jesus died on a cross and rose from the grave in 3 days for you, and that's what changed your life, that's the power. The gospel. The gospel is the power, and the gospel must be in this part of your story. Must be in it. Let me just read what I wrote. I grew up and even served in church most of my life. Many times I heard the pastor talk about Jesus and how Jesus came to die on a cross for all my sins and how Jesus rose from the grave in 3 days. I went through all the church motions while I was still living a selfish lifestyle of drinking and partying. I was still experiencing the feelings of emptiness, which also led to depression and even occasional thoughts of suicide. At the age of 34 years old, I was invited by my pastor to meet with him and some others to learn how to be a better Christian man. Through that group and the pastor's sermons, I realized that I had never truly surrendered my life to Jesus. Then I began to feel very guilty about my sinful lifestyle. And one night, with a lot of conviction, that night was when I finally realized that I needed to not only believe in Jesus, but I also had to truly repent to turn away from all my sins. And that night, I completely surrendered and gave my life to Jesus, and I put my full faith and trust in Him. Now, that's just my story. So I want you to take 5 minutes and write your story. Because remember, put the gospel in it. And your story is just a vehicle to deliver the gospel. That's why the gospel must be in it. If the gospel ain't in it, it's just a story. But if the gospel's in it, it's a vehicle to deliver the gospel. So take 5 minutes and write how you came to accept Jesus into your life. Still a couple people writing. I was just giving you another second. All right. So if you haven't quite finished, it's okay. You can finish this later. Let's look at the top of page 6. Top of page 6. Now we're getting in the third part of our story, my life since Jesus came in. My life since Jesus came in. And right here, you see in the little gray bar section, you're going to be talking about the first immediate life change. So right there in your notes in the gray bar section, you see where it says, tell about the first immediate life change. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says you become a new creation. You're a new creature. So did your life change? So for some, it's going to be different than others. For me, I was very immoral, and when I gave my life to Jesus, I became moral. Friend of mine, when she gave her life to Jesus, she was already pretty moral. But when she got saved, she had a desire to read God's Word and to study and want to learn more about Jesus. So it's going to be different for different people, but the main thing is your life changed. That's the key. Did your life change? So talk about the first immediate life change. Then, next note, switch back to secular things such as your school, career, how you met your spouse. Share about something painful. That's in the little gray bar section if you're following along. Share about something painful or hard that you've experienced since you were saved. Share about your emotions during this time. And then brag on God. Brag on Him. Brag on God for helping you get through this hardship. Does life get easier just because you're saved? No. No. So it's okay to share about a painful experience you've had, because it's good to share when you're talking to a lost person. That way they still see that you're human. So let me ask you a question. Now, I want the answer to be yes, but if the answer is no, I don't want you to say anything. Just stay quiet. But if the answer is yes, I want you to just yell it out, yes. But if it's no, I understand. Just shh. Has God been good to you? Yes, yes, yes. Yes, He's been good to us. Which leads us to Acts 26:22. Let's read this on the screen. But I have had God's help to this very day, and so I stand here and testify to small and great alike. And so we should boldly testify of what Jesus did for us, because He's good to us. We should tell everyone about it. So let me read what I wrote. The very next day, after surrendering my life to Jesus, I completely quit smoking and drinking alcohol and living the sinful lifestyle that I was accustomed to, and I became a better husband and a better father. And then one day, I noticed sudden changes in Candy's behavior. She was just acting differently all of a sudden. So Candy decided to take a pregnancy test. And bingo, it said positive, and the doctor said we were going to be having a little girl. And our entire family was super excited to finally have a little girl in the family. We also knew this meant we would both have to start figuring out both of our current job transitions and financial troubles and how to balance everything when it came to making sure we have enough money and health insurance. And we are still not 100% sure how we're going to pay all of our bills, but God has given me a real peace that He will provide everything that we need. So tell me about you. That's just my story. But your story is going to be different because it's yours. So take 5 minutes and write your story, my life since Jesus came in. All right. If you haven't quite finished, it's okay. Once again, you can finish this at home. But thank you for doing that. Now, here's what I want to do. I know some of you maybe have not quite finished it, and that's okay if you haven't. But here's what I want to do. I'm going to ask if one or two people would mind just standing and reading exactly what you wrote, word for word, even if you didn't finish it. It's okay. We know we may just jump and go right into the next one. That's fine. Don't ad-lib anything. If you forgot, just fine. Just read, all I'm asking, just read word for word exactly what you wrote on your paper. But here's the thing. I want one or two people that have never stood up before in church ever and spoke. Okay. Tell us your name.
Danny Nelson.
Danny Nelson, have you ever spoken in church before?
No.
All right, then you're a good candidate. Now, here's what I want you to do. I just want you to read. I don't mean to crowd you, by the way. Just read word for word what you wrote before House Sense. Don't ad-lib anything. Just read word for word what you wrote.
Before I met Jesus.
Yep, start there and just read through all three pages.
I was born, raised with four other siblings in pretty much of a chicken house, working hard in tobacco fields. My dad was a diabetic. They couldn't work a paying job because of his lifetime illness. My mother took care of the five children and worked hard. I did a lot of things that I shouldn't have as a young kid that I regret. But I found the Lord in a small local church in Summerfield that changed my life. When I was a teenager, that's what I got to there.
That's perfect. Keep reading. You're good.
As a young person doing things I should not, I always remember how a church Sunday school class with two sisters recognized the hardships of my family living in an old building, came together, raised the funds to buy property and build a nice home for my family in Summerfield. That gave us all a new life through a friend in high school that I was a believer, there was a believer. I went to the little church, and I didn't write no more, but I was going to say.
That's fine. Nope, just don't ad-lib a thing. Just read exactly what you wrote. I'm going to make this so simple for everyone.
Since my life, since Jesus came, my life changed in many ways. Things just made life work much better. Working for the funds to support myself, my love of my life, my wife, Becky, that also found the Lord and guided my three children along while I was drafted and served in Vietnam and with the Greensboro Fire Department 30 years. Also, our blessed marriage for 55 years before going to see and be with our Heavenly Father.
Amen. Thank you so much. Give him a hand. Amen. Anyone else? Anyone else like to read? Try not to miss any hands.
What if you spoke in church before?
Nope, I won't. Someone has never spoken in church. We had one. Thank you so much for that. Anyone else? All right. So look at the top of the next page. What now? Based on what we have just seen in God's Word, what should you do today? Let's read James 1, verse 22 on the screen. Let's read this together. It says, "Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says." We are to be doers of the word, not hearers only. All this training that we're going to be doing and have done today, all this training don't do a lick of good if we don't get out there and do. We're to be doers of the word. We're commanded to be doers of the word. So your next note there, make a commitment today to share your story with one person before tomorrow evening. I'm going to step it up. If you want to make a little note to the side, make a commitment to share your story with two people this week before next Sunday. Make a commitment to share your story with two people this week before next Sunday. Remember, our story is just a vehicle to deliver the gospel. There used to be so many, when I first got saved, so many different evangelism ways that I used to do to try to share the gospel with people. I've been yelled at, cussed out, nearly punched in the face, spit on. When I started simply just being a witness, telling what I experienced, simply sharing my story like Paul did. It's biblical, Acts 26. Just simply sharing my story daily with lost people. Guess what? I've never been attacked. I've never had anybody yell at me, cuss at me, spit on me, want to punch me in the face. Never. I'm just telling what I experienced. I'm just talking about my story. So it's a vehicle to deliver the gospel. Now the next note there, knowing it is my responsibility to witness for my Lord, I will share my personal story of receiving Jesus with at least one more person tomorrow. That should be your prayer every day this week. Because also I want you to share with at least two people this week, not just tomorrow. Witnessing is not complicated. It's so easy, children can do it. It's so easy, senior adults can do it. It's so easy, a caveman can do it if he's saved. It's not complicated to just witness. Tell what Jesus did in your life. Share your story, and then right in the middle, you put the gospel in it. Now, if you're willing to make that commitment today to share your story with two people this week, I want you to sign and date your name right there at the bottom. But wait. Don't sign. I want to make this so easy. Anybody can do it. Let's make it easy. Here's what I want you to do. What's your name, brother?
Donnie.
Donnie?
Yeah.
I'm going to pretend we work together. We're on our lunch break. Or it's after work. I'm going to say, Donnie, hey, we're having this thing. Our pastor had this guest come to our church, and he's teaching, and he's teaching us to talk about what God's done in our life, and he had us write it out, and he's challenged us to read it to at least a couple people. Would you do me a favor and let me read it to you?
Sure.
All right. Then all I want you to do is just read exactly word for word what you wrote. And then at the end, all I want you to do is say, thank you. That's it. Just say thank you. Now you can do whatever the Holy Spirit directs you to say after you share your story. You go wherever the Holy Spirit wants you to go. All I'm asking you to do is just read word for word what you wrote with the gospel in it with two people this week. And you can use that little cheat that helps. Will you do me a favor? There's a lot of students in the room. When you go to school, don't do it during school and get in trouble. Lunch break, lunchtime, recess, after school, use the same thing. You just ask your friend, hey, our pastor had this teacher come up to the church, teach us how to talk about what God's done in our life, and he's challenged us to just read what we wrote with at least a couple people this week. Can I just read it to you? Young people, your friends will let you read it. I promise. then you just read word for word what you wrote before house sins. And they're going to get to hear the gospel through the vehicle of your story. So, with that said, that makes it a lot easier. Makes it a lot easier. So here's what I want to do. As the pianist comes forward, I'm going to ask for all heads bowed and all eyes closed. Nobody looking around. I just want to take a minute. Because I really feel like the Holy Spirit is prompting me right now in this moment that there's potentially someone in this room that hasn't truly surrendered their life to Jesus. And they're struggling right now in this very moment thinking about it. Continue to keep heads bowed, eyes closed, no one looking around. Let me ask you this. If you got to the part of your story and how Jesus changed your life, and while writing it, you had trouble. You had trouble writing your story. Maybe your page was blank. Maybe that bothers you. If that bothers you, with heads bowed and eyes closed, would you just simply look up at me? Just simply look up at me. When you got to the next part is, since my life changed. We talked about the first immediate life change. And while you were writing, you realized, man, Jacob, my life didn't change. And that bothers you. Would you just slip up your hand? If your life didn't change, and that really concerns you, if concerned, would you just raise your hand? Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much for this amazing time that you've given us to dive into your word and to write our stories of how you changed our life, Jesus. We thank you so much for dying on a cross for us and rising from the grave. Lord, you paid the price for all of our sins, all the wicked things that we did. No matter what age it was that we surrendered our life to you, whether age of 6 or 7 or 34, 73, God, we know that we were all just lost, blind, dead, wicked enemies of God before we surrendered our life to you. Lord, I ask if there be anyone in this room that is struggling right now with that, that they haven't truly surrendered. Their pages were blank. They were concerned. Lord, don't let them sleep a wink tonight. Lord, draw them to a place of surrender. Maybe today, maybe during the invitational music. If that's you today, I ask that you just, when the music plays in a minute for invitation, just come down to the old-fashioned altar and just hit your knees and you just cry out to God. Just surrender everything to Him, that He died for you and rose from the grave, and just put your faith and trust in Him. Repent and turn from your sins. Don't leave here today. None of us are guaranteed tomorrow. Would you be willing to surrender today? Why wait? Eternity is forever, folks. Lord God, just draw them to a place of surrender if they don't truly know you. Lord, we thank you for all you do. Keep us safe in the remainder of the time here and as we depart from here. Lord, be in this invitation. Just work in the hearts of anyone that's They're struggling. Or maybe you're saved and you're just really going through some hardships right now. And you just need to come down and pray. I'm going to be up front. Pastor Roy's going to be up front. We want to pray with you. If you're going through some things in your life right now and you just want to come down to an altar and pray, I encourage you, come pray. If there's sin in your life, confess it to God right now. Come confess it so that you can be cleansed of all unrighteousness. Lord, we thank you for all you do. In Jesus' name, amen.
Would you stand as we sing number 317, please?
Very briefly, before I pray, I do want to remind you that in your pews, you will see a envelope that says Every Believer a Witness on that. If you look under the flap, it also gives you an opportunity to be a part of receiving their personal newsletter that Jacob was talking about. They are here with us pretty much on a love offering basis. So This is what we're doing for them over the next couple weeks as we go through this series. So I want to remind you of that. Also in the back of your pew are the Annie Armstrong Easter offering envelopes. So a lot of things that are going on, a lot of things that we can give to as we go forward. And I will go ahead and pray for our offering, and then I will let you know what we're going to do here as we close out. Let's pray. Father, you're good to us. All provision comes from you, and we're grateful. Father, forgive us where we take that for granted. But, Lord, you have blessed us in many and great ways. So help us, Father, to be faithful to return to you the tithe and the offering. May you truly bless the gift and the giver as we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Vicki. Just a couple quick things before we get out of here. We do have a business meeting today. That is our quarterly business meeting. So if you are members, we're asking you to hang around for a few minutes. Just go stretch, come back in. Like I say, I'm sure it will be brief because everybody's hungry. So that makes for a good business meeting. So at any rate, we do have a couple things just to present to you at that business meeting. Notes for today. Always important to me. I always think it's great to mention folks who are having a birthday. So tomorrow, Phyllis Anders will be celebrating a birthday. This coming Thursday, Dina Smith and Ernie Wall will be celebrating birthdays. And then Friday, Paul Johansson. So as you see these folks, be sure to let them know you love them. Send them a little something. Like I said, they'll take checks, credit cards, whatever you want to send them. It'd be good that way. Anyway, anniversary, got anniversary coming up this weekend. Dan and Kelly Wagner will be celebrating an anniversary. So if you get an opportunity, be sure to wish them a happy anniversary or birthday, whichever the case may be. Things that we've got going on for today. My D group, my discipleship group, meets at 3:30 in its normal spot. Awana is at 5:30, its normal time. Adult Bible study down the hall, classroom number 5. And there will be choir practice at 4:45. I know we've been in contact with Brad. Brad is actually going to be coming back for choir practice because I think he's going to be going back to be essentially with his father and the family tomorrow. But he said that he felt this is what he wanted to do and what he needed to do. So 4:45, choir practice, just like normal here. And Ladies Connections, April the 1st, 4 p.m. will be your next connections meeting. And then on April the 8th, 9 a.m. will be your breakfast at Cagney's over on Friendly. Now, I will say this, and then we'll get Pastor David to see us out of here in a word of prayer for a few minutes. Next week, we will continue a look at every believer being a witness. And, boy, you get this old hardcore crusty guy next week. You got me back because we're going to talk about fear. you know, where I come from is being scared. Why are we afraid to share the gospel? And a lot of the people that I've talked to over the years will tell me, even the biggest, boldest ones will say, you know what, I'm just afraid. And I'm like, what are you afraid of? What is it that makes you afraid to be able to share the gospel? So come back and hear me next week. Now, if I come back and there's half the crowd, I'm going to be upset. I'm going to have my feelings hurt and everything else. So, you know, I want to see you next week. One other thing I want to do, just as a reminder, we do have a church conference in just a moment, but it's also a good day in regard to the fact that I'm going to take this microphone. It's probably the best thing for me to do so the people at home can hear us as well. Not that I need a microphone. Jacob, I'm like you. I could sing Elvis right now. Or Barry White. The sinus stuff is going on. A lot of you all know Diane, and you have prayed for her. You know she's been through some difficult times lately, but you've seen her around here quite a bit for quite some time. So, Diane, come on up here for just a second. I want to introduce you to the folks. I don't need your paper. I don't need to look at it, but you've seen her around. I know you prayed for her daughter, Brandy, and you've been praying for Diane and her family as they deal with the new normal of her passing. But today, Diane comes requesting membership at Central Baptist Church. She has trusted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior of her life. She has followed in believer's baptism by immersion, and she wants to be a part of this family by statement of faith. So do I hear a motion she be received? Is there a second? Sounds like you got a pretty good crowd. All in favor of her, come and say a hearty amen.
Amen.
Diane, it is good to have you as part of our family, and we look forward to serving together. And I'm going to get this. I'm going to give people an opportunity to greet you. Barbara, if you would you walk Diane back there and stand with her at the narthex? And there's a paper here somewhere. Have you got that paper? Good. I got to give it to somebody before I get yelled at. And I don't want to get yelled at. I'll just take the whole book. They'll know what to do with that. So at any rate, Jacob will be back there in the back as well, so you can get a chance to hug his neck, thank him for his time of being able to be here together with us. And then I am going to bring this back up again. Continue to pray for Brad as he goes through these difficult moments with his father as well. And if you're part of the choir, also he did mention this morning that Mark Vernon had let him know that Annette has been pretty sick as well. So we want to keep Annette in our prayers as well. Church conference in just a few minutes. So members, if you're here, hang out for just a few more minutes. David, our moderator, will call us into conference. This is our quarterly business meeting, so should be pretty quick. Pastor David, see us off in a word of prayer if you would, and then we'll have an opportunity to regather for our business meeting.
Let's pray. Father, we're so thankful for the day that you came into our life and saved our soul. We thank you for the privilege of being a witness. Lord, help us to be obedient to your word and share the gospel with folks we come in contact with. Lord, it's such a blessing just to know the peace that we are at peace with you. God, I pray that you'll help us to share that wonderful blessing with people this week, and that lives will be changed because of it. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.